Okay, page Yud Beis. Daf Yud Beis. Amid Aleph, 19 lines from the bottom. 19 lines from the bottom of the page. It says in the Braise, Ton Rabbanan, Rabbanan learnt. It says, If the Ritzeach left the city, if the Ritzeach went out of the Ari Miklat. Okay, so it says that the girl Adam, the avenger, is allowed to kill him. So the Gemara says, Ainli, Allah bemazed. I only know if the murderer left the city intentionally, then the relative could kill him. How do I know if he left accidentally? Meaning he didn't realize he was outside the boundaries of the city. So how do I know that he can kill him? Talmud Leimer, because the Torah says, Im yotze yotze mikom okim. The Torah is a double expression. Im yotze yotze. Meaning, if he goes out regardless. So if it would have said if he went out, it would mean only if he intentionally went out can the girl Adam kill him. But it says, yotze yotze, which means even if he did it accidentally, he can also kill him. So the Gemara asks, well, Tanya, but we learned in a Braisa not like that. Because it says, b'mezid, if he left intentionally, nehrag, the guy can kill him. B'sheigig, but if he left the city accidentally, gaila, he goes back to the city of refuge. So the Gemara is a very open contradiction. No, all the way down. Down. Shlomo.
Oh,
all the way down. Okay. Slight nine. Now we're like 17 lines.
Okay, I got it.
17 lines in the bottom of the page. So Gemara says as follows. One Braisa said the double expression Yotze Yetze, which means anytime the murderer leaves the city of refuge, the relative could kill him. Whether he left intentionally from the city, whether he left accidentally from the city, he has a right to kill him. So the Gemara said, but we learned in another Braisa that if he left intentionally, the girl Adam, the relative, can kill him. But if he left accidentally, he can't. So it's like a contradiction of the two braises. So he says, Leikashi, it's not a question. It's taka two opinions. What are the two opinions? Har command the Omer, Amrin and Dibra Tera Koloshim B'nei Adam. There's an argument in Halacha, in the Gemara. When people speak, they have certain expressions. The question is, does the Torah speak like people do or not? Meaning, people when they speak will say, Yotze Yetze, he went out, he went out. They'll say it in Hebrew, Yotze Yetze. It sounds nice, whatever it is, they want to bring out the point better. Sometimes, some opinions hold, the Torah doesn't speak like people. And if there's an extra word, you learn something from the extra word. So there's two opinions in the Gemara in many, many places. Does the Torah speak like people do, that the Torah will change expressions? A lot of times when people speak, or you write an article, right? You want to change the expression. You don't want to use the same word over and over. So you change an expression. So the question is, if the Torah speaks like people speak, the fact that the Torah changed the word doesn't mean anything. Because that's the way people speak. You change words. The other opinion says, no, Torah doesn't speak like people. People maybe change words, but the Torah, if the Torah changes a word, there's a reason why the Torah changed the word. The same thing in our Gemara. The Torah says, Im yotze yetze ham arateach. It's a double expression. If he went out the murderer. So one Braisa says, it's an extra word. It says, he went out. Right? So the Gemara says, why is it extra? Because the Torah doesn't speak like people. And every word in the Torah is exact. So if the Torah uses an extra word, what does it teach us? The first one teaches us if he left intentionally, the relative can kill him. And the second one teaches us that even if he left accidentally, the murderer can kill him. I mean, the relative can kill him. The other opinion says, no, the Torah speaks like people. People speak like that, you know. So therefore, it doesn't matter. And therefore, you can't learn out anything from it. So what do you say from the pasuk? If he went out, means he went out intentionally. Then you can kill him. But if he went out accidentally, you don't kill him. He has to go back to the city of refuge. That's what the Gemara is explaining, the argument between these two opinions. What? I mean, it's possible to know, because it's possible to see he was sleeping, you know, in a carriage, in a coach, in a wagon, and the horse went out of the city. He didn't even know he was leaving the city, let's say. Right? He was sleeping, and he saw him leave accidentally. So Shaila, can he kill him or not? So one Braisa says yes, one Braisa says no. So Gemara explains, what's the difference? I'll give you another example. The Torah says, when you have to send away the mother bird to take the eggs, you know. So the Torah says, Shaleach to Shalach Esa'im. Send away the mother. Yeah? What's the double expression? So sometimes, some opinions say that the fact that the Torah says, send away, means even 100 times you have to do it. And some people say, no, this is the way the Torah speaks, like people speak. It's not anything that you can learn something from it. So that's the Gemara's answer, like Kashin. The opinion that says you can't kill him if he goes accidentally holds that the Torah speaks and like people speak. The second opinion says, okay? Now the Gemara says, we're like 15 lines from the bottom of the page. Amar Abaye said, Mistabit, it's logical. Command the Amar, like the opinion that says, Abaye says, in this case, it's more logical to say Torah speaks like people, which means that if he killed somebody, if he left the city accidentally, you cannot kill him. Why? He says very simple. The end can't be stricter than the beginning. And I'll say it inside, and then I'll explain it. Just when the original murder took place. So if he killed him intentionally, he gets killed. If he kills him accidentally, he can't kill him. The avenger can't kill him. He has to go to the city of refuge. So Afsefi, the same thing at the end, when the guy leaves the city, B'mezid Nadag, if he leaves intentionally, he can get killed. B'shege Gela, B'shege, he also goes into Golas. Meaning, in other words, like this. What's worse? Killing a guy or leaving the city of refuge? Killing a guy is much worse than walking out of the Ari Miklat, right? That's a given. So the Gemara says, if when he killed the guy, if he killed him intentionally, you kill him. If he killed him accidentally, you don't kill him. You have to go to the city of refuge, right? So you're going to tell me that if he leaves the city accidentally, that accident is worse than accidental murder? Accidental murder, you don't get killed. You want to tell me that if he leaves the city accidentally, the relative can kill him? That means leaving a city accidentally is worse than killing somebody accidentally. And Abaye says, that doesn't make sense. If you kill somebody accidentally, you can't get killed, right? You just go to the city of refuge. So if you leave the city of refuge by accident, how could the guy kill you? It doesn't make sense to say that the guy should be able to kill you.
And not there.
Huh? Yeah, but if a guy kills somebody accidentally, you don't murder him, right? What do you say? Go to the city of refuge. Now you're saying, by mistake, he went out of the city of refuge, so the guy can kill him. Abaye said, it doesn't make sense.
But when he went to the Aron Miklat, he went there because he did it accidentally, but now when...
He's leaving the city also accidentally.
The city
protects him. Right. But in other words, you're saying now, the Gemara says, leaving a city accidentally is worse than killing somebody accidentally. That doesn't make sense. How could the end be stricter than the beginning? When he killed the guy accidentally, he doesn't get killed.
He does, before he gets to the city.
Yeah, but the concept is, what's his punishment?
It's Golas.
Right. So now you put him back in the Golas. You don't allow him to get killed. It comes out that the crime of leaving the city is more dangerous than the crime of killing somebody accidentally.
And they gave him a chance once not to be killed, so he should be careful. But he gave him a chance when he killed inadvertently. He gave him a chance to go to Aramika.
Right.
If he keeps on, you know, making mistakes, then I'll say, you know, the hell with you.
Mistakes. But a guy that keeps making mistakes is not as bad as killing somebody by mistake. What was his crime? His crime was he wasn't aware that he left the city of refuge. So for that he gets
once
killed.
He comes out of Beit Din, he's already sentenced.
To Ari Miklat. Yeah.
But on the way to Ari Miklat, somebody catches him and kill him.
Well, we learned before that they sent Tamid Chacham with him, the Targum is not to. But you're saying basically that now he's open more to death than initially.
Yeah.
So that's not to. Okay, now the Gemara continues with another interesting contradiction of two Braises. Tani Chada, one Braise says, Av Shaharag, that if a father killed his own son, God forbid, accidentally, b'nei nasa legeil adam, his other son can kill the father. That means Yaakov had Reuven and Shimon, right? Two sons. And by mistake, Yaakov killed Reuven. So one braisa says, Shimon, who's Reuven's relative, can kill the father. Because he's the avenger. V'tani chada, and another braisa learns, ein b'nei nasa gil adam, that the son can't kill the father. So it's an obvious contradiction. If Yaakov kills Reuven, so one braisa says Shimon can kill Yaakov, and another braisa says Shimon can't kill Yaakov. So like, it's a contradiction. So the Gemara asks, lema maybe, harabi yesi aglili harabi akiva. The Gemara says, maybe one opinion is Rabbi Yosi Aglili and one opinion is Rabbi Akiva. If you remember in the Mishnah we learned, Rabbi Yosi Aglili says it's a mitzvah for the avenger to kill him. It's a mitzvah for the guy to kill him. Rabbi Akiva says it's not a mitzvah to kill him. You could kill him. So the Gemara says maybe this is the argument between the two braises. The braise that says the son could kill the father is because it's a mitzvah to do it. If it's a mitzvah to do it, he has no choice.
Killing the father is transgressing the one of the Ten Commandments.
No, it's not. You have to honor your father, but if Torah says kill him, to kill him. That's the Gemara's thinking. If it's a mitzvah to kill the murderer, a son has a mitzvah, you got to do it. Right? If there's no mitzvah, but you're allowed to do it, so then the Braisa says, listen, if it's not a mitzvah to kill your father, you're not allowed to kill him. You could, but if it's not a mitzvah, then you're not allowed to do it.
Do you mean that mitzvah supersedes the honoring of the parents?
Yeah. That's the way the Gemara is going to learn now. The Gemara is going to ask a question on it from a different din. Because there's a din that if Bezdin, you know, they had their... They're not called clerks. They were called the henchmen of Beis Din. Somebody needed to get whipped. The rabbis didn't do the whipping. They had this, you know, bulvan that executed him, or whipped him, or whatever. So the question is, what happens if Beis Din's executioner's father had to get executed? Beis Din had to kill him. Is he allowed to be that shliach of Beis Din to kill him?
No,
oh, 1 second. So the Gemara asks, "V'tis, but is that logical? What you just said? Because bein l'man di'amer mitzvah, even whether you hold it's a mitzvah, bein l'man di'amer rishus, or whether it's optional, mishari, is it still permitted for a son to kill the father? For amer rabba bar hov rav huna or fechein tanet ve'rabbi Shmuel la'kol eina ben nasa shliach, according to all matters." A son can never be a shliach of Beis Din lahakaisai to hit him, or the kolosei for his curses, chutz mimesis. There's one time a son is allowed to beat up and kill the father, if the father instigates others to worship idols. Mesis and mediach means now he's to worship idols himself. He goes instigates others to worship idols. Then the Torah says leisachmel. You're not allowed to pity him. You're not allowed to cover for him. You have to kill him. So the Gemara's question is, but Ari Miklat, how could the son kill the father even a shliach bezdin, which is a mitzvah to do, when bezdin has to kill somebody, it's a mitzvah in the Torah to punish somebody with skila or sreifa or whatever it is, and yet a son cannot do it to the father. So the Gemara is asking, you're telling me the braisa that says that the son, the avenger, can kill the father. Because it's a mitzvah, even if it's a mitzvah, son can't kill the father. Also not. Well, the son, only, not even avodah zarah personal. If he instigates others and he gets others to worship idols, then the Torah says, get rid of him. No pity, just, you know, whoever.
Well, where did he learn this from?
From what?
That the son cannot kill the father, even if it's a mitzvah?
I don't know what the source of his din is. The Gemara is not saying it from a pasuk.
I think we learned this already a couple pages ago.
It says that Devarim hakotov velikalotov.
Right.
It's
from
there?
Huh? Yeah, I mean, right. But it just says that you can't hit him and you can't his curse. Huh?
Even a doctor,
here he means to put him into chedim, you know, put into chedim, you can't do it. What?
I was going to say, even a doctor can't take blood from his father.
Right. Unless if there's nobody else. That's because a child can make a wound in the father or mother. If he does, he's chayiv misa. So therefore, your doctor can't, unless if there's nobody else. If the father dafka wants him to do it, then he could do it. Otherwise, not. But the Gemara's question is, why does one Braisa say that the son could become an avenger to kill the father, and another Braisa says he can't? So the Gemara wanted an answer, one is speaking the opinion, says it's a mitzvah to kill him, therefore you're allowed to do it. And the other Braisa says, no, it's not. The according to the opinion, says it's not a mitzvah, therefore you can't kill him. But the Gemara says, even if it's a mitzvah, you can't kill him, because he can be a shliach bezdin. So the Gemara answers an interesting answer. There's a difference between a son and a grandson. The Gemara explains as follows. The braisa that says that the son could become an avenger for the father, he means if Yaakov killed Reuven, and Reuven has a son, Avraham, Avraham can kill his grandfather. But if Yaakov killed Reuven, Shimon, Reuven's brother, who's Yaakov's son, he can't kill his father. Why? Because the respect of a father is much more than the respect of a grandfather, according to Halacha. So therefore, the Gemara is answering, a son, as the avenger, cannot kill his father. But the son, grandson can kill the grandfather. That's what the Gemara says. Like Kasha, Hobibnei, Hobibbenbenei. When does it say you can't kill the father? That's the son. Shimon, who's Yaakov's son, cannot kill Yaakov if Yaakov by mistake killed Reuven. But if Reuven has a son, Avram, so then, and Yaakov kills Reuven, so Avram can kill Yaakov. Because their respect is not that much. But the Gemara has nothing to do with mitzvah, not mitzvah. Because even if it's a mitzvah, a son can't kill a father. There's an interesting question. In Halacha, it says, I mean, there's no women here now. We could say that if your father, women don't listen to this part. If the father tells you to do one thing, and the mother tells you to do something else, Halacha says you have to listen to the father. Why? Because the mother also has to listen to the father. This is in the olden times. The mother also has to listen to the father. So because you and your mother both have to listen to your father, so therefore the din is, you have to listen to the father instead of the mother. By the way, what happens, God forbid, if they're divorced? The parents are divorced, so the mother doesn't have to listen to he's not the husband anymore. So Halacha says the kid can listen to whoever he wants.
Or who has the custody?
The Halacha does not think. He can listen to whoever he wants. So now there's a Shaila. What happens? There's three generations. Yaakov, Reuven, Avraham. Yeah? Yaakov says to Avram, the grandson, I want you to do this. And Reuven, the father, tells his son, no, I want you to do this. Does the grandson listen to his father or to his grandfather? In other words, who does the kid listen to? Should the kid listen to the father or to the grandfather? So logic says, one minute, you should listen to the grandfather, because even the father has to listen to the grandfather. Right?
No.
But Halacha says no. The respect of a father comes before the respect of a grandfather. And therefore, if your father tells you one thing and your grandfather tells you something else, you have to listen to your father. That's the halacha. So the same thing over here, the Gemara says, listen, a son can't kill the father, but a grandson is allowed to kill the grandfather. Because the respect is not that strong, halachically, than it is for a father. Okay, next starts a very interesting Mishnah. And the connection between the previous Mishnah is very obvious, because we're talking about the murderer leaving the Ari Miklat. Now, you have trees. Sometimes you have, let's say this table is Ari Miklat, okay? So now, you can have a tree coming up in the Ari Miklat, but the branches are out of the Ari Miklat. Okay? Or, the trunk of the tree is out of the Ari Miklat, but the branches go into the Ari Miklat. So what din does that tree have? Does the tree have a din of Ari Miklat, or doesn't it? In other words, do the branches follow the trunk, or does the trunk follow the branches, or do we say what's inside the wall is inside, and what's outside of the wall is outside? No, but there's a different concept. Well, the Kohanim is a different concept. You can't be in the same tent. You can't be under the same roof. So over there, the fact if there's a dead body here, and the tree is going over, and you're walking under the branches of the tree, which happens to also go over a grave, so you're walking under the same tent. Over there is not a question of domain. You know, I don't want to get into this now, but you have the same question, by the way. Yeah, but what happens if this is the end of the buffer zone? Whatever, it's the end of the buffer zone. The Moshe, you have the same question in legal law. If you have a tree in your backyard, a fruit tree, yeah? In California, it's very shaykh, yeah? You have a fruit tree in your backyard, and the branches go into your neighbor's yard. The fruits and those branches belong to whom? Right? There's a whole, legally there's a whole issue with this. Halachically there's a... Huh?
In a practical way, that's the neighbor.
Because they take it.
Yeah.
No, the question. No, legally, it's a shali. Are you stealing it or not stealing? It's very simple. Who does it? So let's leave the trees out for. I mean, the fruits out for a second. Who owns the fruit? But the question over here is: so the Mishnah says as follows: Ilan shu'emir b'teichatchum. An Elon, meaning the trunk of the tree, is standing within the boundaries of the city. But the branches are going out of the city. Okay? And he's holding on to the branches. Is he in the city or is he out of the city? Or if the tree is standing outside of the city. And the branches go in the city. So the Mishnah says, "Hakel heilech achad," and if everything goes by the branches, even the trunk, everything goes by the branches.
Yeah, but it cannot be that the whole branch is in one side. Is a tree around?
Tree.
Half of it would be in the other side.
Well, that's what you say. The Mishnah, meanwhile, the Gemara is going to explain the Mishnah differently. But the simple learning of the Mishnah is, wherever the branches are, that's where the tree is. That means, according to this opinion, if the branches are outside of the city, and the trunk of the tree is in the city, and the guy is sitting on the tree, he's climbing the tree, the guy can kill him, even though the trunk of the tree is in the city. Wherever the branches are, that's where the tree is. Why doesn't
let's say
it?
This is a tree, okay?
Yeah.
The goof of the tree. you have branches this way and you have branches this way.
Right.
Half the branches in the are in milk lot and the other half is in the outside. Which part you're talking about? You're talking about the whole thing.
I know what you're asking.
Is that like the chicken with one leg on one side?
Let's see the Gemara, because the Gemara is going to ask anyway a lot of questions, and the Gemara is going to change what the Mishnah means. Simply, this is what the Mishnah means. So obviously, to answer your question, the way the Gemara is learning now, if this is the end of the city, the table, the trunk of the tree is here, and the branches are only going out. That's the way the Gemara is learning it now. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Only going out.
So according to that, all the part of the tree, every part of the tree is outside. If the trunk is outside and the branches go inside, every part of the tree is inside. That's the way the Gemara is learning out. The Gemara is going to change it anyway very soon, because the Gemara is going to ask a very simple question. But Aminu, I'll ask you a question. There's a din. Because there's a din by Ma'aser Ilan Shu'em B'tzei Chapnim, a tree which is standing within the walls of Yerushalayim. V'nei Telechutz, and the branches hang outside of the walls. The same din about Yerushalayim. Now this din is as far as Ma'aser Sheni goes. Ma'aser Sheni is a din that every few years you have to give. Ma'aser Sheni means you take 10%. And you have to bring the fruits to Yerushalayim, and you have to eat it in Yerushalayim. Then the Torah says, what happens if it's too much to schlep? So you redeem them for money. Redeem them. Let's say it's $100 worth. So you redeem the fruit for $100. This fruit now is not holy anymore. You can do with it whatever you want. The money you have to take Yerushalayim, and you have to spend $100 in Yerushalayim on food. And you have to eat that food in Yerushalayim. I mean, you could share it, you can get whatever, but okay. Now the din is, this stuff can only be redeemed outside of Yerushalayim. You can't redeem Ma'aser in Yerushalayim. That's the halacha. You can only redeem it out of Yerushalayim. Okay? So now what happens if you have a tree that's half in and half out? Is it Yerushalayim or is it outside of Yerushalayim? Which one is it? So over there it says, the Elam, which is inside the city, and the branches go outside. Or, Eimid Bachutz is standing outside. V'neit lefnim, the branches go inside. So what's the halacha? So the Mishnah says very simple. Neged achayma v'lefnim k'lefnim. The Mishnah says very simple. What's inside the wall is inside. What's outside the wall is outside, period. It doesn't matter if you're talking about the trunk or the branches, it doesn't matter. The Mishnah says by Ma'aser, very simple. What's inside the wall is inside. What's outside the wall is outside, it's finished. So the Gemara asks, by Ari Mikla, we're not saying that. By Ari Mikla, we're not saying what's inside, and what's outside is outside. We're saying that wherever the branches are, that's where the tree is. By the way, the logic of this, of why do you go by the branches, not by the trunk? Because by Ari Miklid, it says where you live. To live. You can't live on the trunk. You can live on a branch. No, to physically sit. You can rest on the branches more than on the trunk. So if you're talking about Ari Miklid, the Torah speaks about the you're living there, living in the Ari Miklid, so you have to talk about living ability. Living ability is the branches. But the Gemara's question is, but by Ma'aser Sheni, that's not the din. By Ma'aser Sheni, we say whatever is inside, whatever outside is outside. What's the difference? So the Gemara says, Ma'aser Ari Miklat Karamis. You're comparing Ma'aser to Ari Miklat. How do you compare it to even? He says, Ma'aser B'chayme Tali Rachman. By Ma'aser, the Torah connects it to the tree. To the wall. Because Hashem says by Ma'aser, before God, Lefnei Hashem, Tochalenu. Where is before Hashem? In Yerushalayim. But Ari Mikl, by Ari Miklut, Bedira, Tala Rachman, the Torah connects it to living So begufay mistadalei b'neifem. Sorry, in the branches you can technically live. Be'ikalei mistadalei. You can't live in the branches and the trunk. I mean, you can live in the branches. You can't live in the trunk. So the Gemara says you can't compare ma'aser to ani miklat. Ma'aser, the Torah says, before God. So meaning over there, the Torah says you're talking about boundaries. If it's in Yerushalayim, it's in. If it's out, it's out. But ani miklat, where the Torah says you have to live there, branches you could live on, and the trunk you can't live on. So you can't compare ma'aser to Ari Miklat. So it's not a question, Bechlau. But the Gemara asks, V'rami Maisir HaMaisir. I'll ask you a question, a contradiction, not from Ari Miklat to Maisir, like we just did, but from Maisir to Maisir, I'll ask you a question. Why? The Tanya, because it says, really supposed to be the Tanan, it says in the Mishnah, it says, B'Yerushalayim Halach Achar HaNeif. By Yerushalayim, you go after the branch, meaning by Ma'aser, you go by the branch, and by Ari Miklat, you go after the branch. So the Gemara is asking a very simple question. One Mishnah says, by Ma'aser, you go where the branch is. And the other Mishnah, by Ma'aser, says, what's inside is inside, and what's outside is outside. So it's a contradiction, Ma'aser and Ma'aser. One Ma'aser Mishnah says, you go by the branches only. That means if the branch is inside, the whole tree is inside. If the branch is outside, the whole tree is outside. And another Mishnah says that what's inside is inside, what's outside is outside. So how do you reconcile this difference? So Amar Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana answered, Leikash, Hoy Rab Yehuda, Hoy Rabbanan. One goes according to Rab Yehuda, and one goes according to the Rabbanan. What's the argument? Tanya, because we learned in the Braise, Rabbi Yehuda, Eimer Rabbi Yehuda says, concerning Ma'aser Sheni, b'ma'ara, in a cave. Okay? Now, it's like houses, half Beverly Hills, half LA. Like you walk down Alden over there, yeah? Half. So now the shaila is the house LA or is the house Beverly Hills? Big difference. I mean, halacha could be very big difference. So the Gemara says as follows. By a cave, what's considered Yerushalayim or not? By the opening of the cave. Wherever the opening of the cave is, that is the halacha of the cave, regardless of how deep the cave is or where it goes. Which means, if the opening of the cave is in Yerushalayim, and half the cave is outside of Yerushalayim, it's all Yerushalayim. If the opening of the cave is outside of Yerushalayim, even though most of the cave is in Yerushalayim, it's outside Yerushalayim. No, it's talking about Ma'aser. No, this is by the din of Ma'aser Sheni. By Ma'aser Sheni, there's a difference between Yerushalayim and not Yerushalayim, like what, where you can eat it and to change it and so on. So he says, Rabbi Yehuda says, by a cave, right, you go by the opening, and by a tree, you go by the branch. So you see, clearly, Rabbi Yehuda says, you go by the branch. So that's the Braisa that says you go by where the branch is. By Maisa is Rabbi Yehuda. And the other opinion says you go by where the, what it is, in or out, as it goes according to the Chachamim. Okay?
I still didn't get this. What do you mean by branch for Maaser Sheni? You mean the guy who redeemed his fruit under the tree?
Not under the tree, on the branch.
On the branch?
On the branch.
Or redeem the fruit of the branch that is...
No.
The din of the tree has the din where the branches are.
No, he wants to know what to do with the fruit. No, it's
not necessarily the fruit from that particular tree.
No, I know. I mean, he has to bring his... Okay.
Is that the halacha, Rabbi?
The what? No. Let's not get into that. To those things. That's a separate concept.
No.
Then that's completely different.
You mean somebody is standing under the tree, under the branch, and he wants to redeem the fruit? He could do it.
Right.
Okay.
if the branches are in Yerushalayim, outside of Yerushalayim. Right. Because you're not allowed to redeem Maaser in Yerushalayim, only outside of Yerushalayim.
You have to be on the branch or under the branch?
I would imagine it probably would have... See, that I don't know.
Under the branch?
Later, because later the is going to speak, he's on the branch.
The tree, it has a tree
now.
Yeah.
I have to be on the branch. As long as, you're under it.
Yeah, but under it, the ground is not bound by the tree. The ground underneath the tree, it depends wherever the land is. For instance, when the Gemara says that you go by the branches, right?
How could the branch outside and the land shouldn't be outside?
No, the branches are not connected to the land.
Yeah, well, we said where the branches.
The branch, they...
No, we're talking about the branch itself. That's what I'm saying. We're not talking about under the branch. What din does the branch have? On the branch, is the guy safe or is he not safe?
Well,
or for Maaser, the same thing. If you're on the branch, can you do redemption?
Well, we're talking about only if you hold on to the tree also, we learn somewhere. Tree.
We'll soon see about that with the guy using it as a ladder to get up to the branch. So then the Gemara discusses what din does the trunk have. But if you have a tree, let's say, that the branches are in Yerushalayim and the trunk is outside Yerushalayim, right? And you're standing next to the trunk. It has a din of outside of Yerushalayim. If you're on the tree trunk, then you have a din of Yerushalayim. But if you're next to it, don't have a din of Yerushalayim. It's only the branches and the tree itself we're discussing. The land underneath the branch...
It seems to me the land and the branch are in the same level.
Yeah, but it's not, like I said, if you have a tree from your neighbor that's going into your house,
right?
Underneath the tree is whose?
The neighbor.
No, in your house. It's going to you. So underneath, that's yours. Who does the tree belong to?
Okay, next question.
To the neighbor.
Next question, can you make a tree house?
I don't know.
The branches
because the root of the tree is in his land.
Right, so who? Okay, let's get it clear. I live next door to you. The tree is by me and the branches are by you.
Right.
Now, the land underneath the branches is whose?
Mine.
And the branches themselves belongs to who?
You.
So it's the problem.
We can't use that argument.
Why?
Because what if he decides to make a tree house on the branches protruding into the neighbor's house?
Can I cut down the branches of the neighbor's tree?
Yes, you can.
If it comes to your house.
If it covers into my, I don't know if you can. You
can
could.
Can I make a tree house on the branches of my tree that's protruding into the neighbor? Go on the branch and make a tree house.
So that's the shiloh. Who does the branch belong to?
He owns the land and also the airspace. He could take. He could cut the branch,
but not according to this.
Right. The branches are not the airspace. We're talking about the branches. The airspace underneath it is different.
So airspace is going up, not going down.
Yeah, but just because the branch... Listen, if my tree protrudes over the street, right? Does that mean underneath the branch is mine? It's this public street. It's not mine. The branch maybe is mine, but not the street underneath it.
Yeah, but then you're talking about property now. That's a different thing.
Well, by Ari Miklu, we're talking about property. What property is it? Is it domain of Ari Miklat? Is it domain of not Ari Miklat? By Ma'is, it's a Shaila. The Gemara is saying, what's the din? Is it a Metzias of... Even then, Rabbi Yehuda says, you go by the branch.
According to this, the guy has to sit on the branch and holding the fruit.
Right.
In order to do it.
Is there a concept that you have to acquire it to do it? Is that
why? By where?
The food. You have to actually physically take.
No, we're just talking about if you're bringing your fruits, where can you redeem them or not? Can you redeem them or not redeem them?
Change the money.
Right.
Or anything else.
It has to be money.
Money? Isn't there a law that if you have a garden and there is a tree, part of the tree, this fruit tree, goes over the wall to the street, other people can just eat that tree?
I don't know.
If
to look it up in Shulchan Aruch. I don't know. I don't remember. I remember I looked it up once because we had another Gemara Shir, not here, it's a different Masechta, Baba Basra, the same issue came up. And we were discussing this many, many, many years ago. We were discussing this. What's to do with the fruit? And can you cut off the branches and... Yeah, but that's not necessarily Torah law. There may be civil law. If my tree protrudes into the street, does that mean all the fruits facing the street are free for all?
I
don't know. I mean, why? Maybe, yeah, maybe not.
Is it true in civil law?
No, I remember by Arabot, for Sukkot, they had learned that you cannot cut the branches from offshore.
Because it belongs to the
city.
So you're stealing from the city.
Yeah.
The question is, does everybody have... But who's the city?
Even if the fruit
tree... I'm saying
if the fruit tree belongs to the city, you're not allowed to take the fruit.
Right. Who's the city? Who's the city?
It's a non-existent entity. It's like a corporation.
What? Tell her to call me 10 o'clock in my house.
Like a corporation. Not like an entity.
Does that mean you can
steal from a corporation?
Right. Yes. But you can't steal from the city either.
That's why you can take the palm branches from the city.
Without permission.
Yeah.
You can't.
You
right. Can you or can't you? I don't know.
Civil law doesn't allow you.
Does the city belong to everybody or to nobody? We learned that the Shaila by Hefker, something free for all, something which is free for all, is it everybody's or nobody's?
Like the ocean.
Yeah, or desert. Or, in other words, if it belongs to everybody, the reason I have to acquire something, even though technically it belongs to me too, because it belongs to everybody, the only reason I have to acquire it is to uproot your ownership from it. And the Torah says, because it's free for you, you can do it. But it really belongs to everybody. But in order for me to acquire it, I have to uproot your ownership, and that's by me picking it up. If it belongs to nobody, meaning I have to pick it up, because otherwise it's not mine either. And the Rebbe Nesicha has an interesting thing. Rashi, at the beginning of Vayikra, says, why does it say Adam ki yakriv karban? Why does it use the word Adam? Normally in Chumash it doesn't use the word Adam. It says Ish. You know, Isha, Isha. So Rashi says, from the Halacha, why does it say Adam? So the Gemara is, Rashi says, just like Adam and Ish didn't bring from stolen goods. Shahakol hayashalai. Rashi says everything belonged to him. So the same thing, when you bring a carbon, it's now to be stolen. That's what Rashi says. What does it mean everything belonged to Adam? Adam was the only guy in his, when he was created, he was there. So the whole world was now free for all. Does that mean Adam automatically acquired the whole world? or no, what Adam picked up, he acquired. He didn't pick it up. But Rashi says the expression, Shakel Hoya Shalom, everything was his. Which implies that Rashi learns that Hefka means that it belongs to everybody. There was nobody else, so everything automatically belonged to Adam. He didn't even have to acquire it, and it was his. But now the shaila is, what's with the... I don't know, mitzvah for next week, there's no shir, but I have a graduation next week, one of my kids, so... No, next week, there's no shir. But that's the shaila. I have to check it out by these other... It's in Shchunach and Cheshimish, but also, what's the din with the fruits between neighbors? If you have a tree and the branches go over, it's a din. I mean, I remember learning it. I just remember what the din is. Who do the fruits belong to? So by Adi Mikla, the Gemara is learning that the fact that Adi Mikla has to do with living, and you can live on a branch better than you can live on a trunk of the tree, so therefore the halacha is go batsa the branch. Now what's with Meiser? So there's an argument, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, it goes according to the branch. According to the Chachamim, it goes, what's inside, what's outside is outside. Right? So that's the question. What's the concept by Meiser?